As we all know, it's been a sad week this week in the NBA. There's been some controversy in the football world. Tom Brady may be leaving for the NFL. Super Bowl's on the horizon, and I'm joined here with Luke Smith, our guest speaker for the week. All this and more on this episode of the Trial Run Podcast. Let's go.
It's been a long day without you, my friend, and I'll tell you all about it when I see you.
Right, so as mentioned, I'm joined here by the esteemed Luke Smith. He is a world-renowned sports mind, really, if you think about it. And it's fitting that he's on the podcast this week because, as we mentioned, the passing of Kobe, which was truly tragic. That was a really sad event. Nate and I last week on the podcast were actually recording it as it occurred. I was literally editing this last week's podcast as the news broke, and it was a complete shocker. But Luke here, been a Kobe fan his whole life, you know, keeps that Mamba mentality always going, has the jersey. So you want to speak a little bit on that, Luke? Just say what it meant to you and really to us as a whole.
First off, I'd like to thank you for having me again.
Of course, for
Trial Run podcast guest number two, or for the second time. But yes, again, I guess at this point I'll try to keep it from being as redundant as possible without saying anything that hasn't already been said by the entire media. But what Kobe meant was more than something of just basketball. There was something to be held within his work ethic, his determination, and almost most importantly, his role as a father. It's something that really doesn't get touched on, or didn't get touched on enough until after he passed, which is, again, something that is somewhat unfortunate when you look at what it takes for people to start realizing the someone's value that they have until after they pass. So, but his basketball career is something to withhold, and it's truly saddening for him to go. But 5 championships, it's 2 of them without Shaq. I know a lot of people like to say that Shaq got 3, and he's kind of touched on that since. But again, there's not much else to say, but just a lot of sadness, and that we can take away from this is that just to work hard every day and to not look back, to wake up every day and really take everything, not take everything for granted.
Yeah, and you kind of touched on it there. It's been touched on a little bit in the media too, but a lot of people have mentioned how Kobe was really just now starting the second act of his life, if you will. He had a lot left to offer the game and really the world in general with the Kobe and Vanessa Bryant Foundation. And you, like you said, he was a great father to his kids. And it's really sad that his daughter Gianna had to pass with him, because it looked like he was kind of passing on that Mamba legacy, if you will. She was a pretty solid basketball player in her own right. So it's really just a tragic event all the way around.
Indeed, indeed.
Well, a lot of players have been affected by it too in the NBA, and it's shown really on the court because some guys are bawling out in the wake of Kobe's death. I don't know how much of that is related to the death, but certainly guys have been, you know, doing what they can. Kyrie just dropped 54 last night. Damian Lillard also had 48 last night, and then Chris Middleton a couple nights ago had 51. A couple other guys have been popping off. Do you think that really does have to do with Kobe, or is that just kind of
unrelated incident? You could say that it's a coincidence in some ways, but when you look at how recent it was in terms of Kobe's passing and all these players doing so well, there's probably some rhyme to the reason of why. But I think a lot of it could just be players trying to channel that Mamba mentality in themselves. But It's been tough for them, obviously. The Lakers and Clippers game a few days ago got postponed, and yep, the Lakers just held their memorial, basically, for Kobe at the last game. They did fall short to Damian Lillard and the Trailblazers, but I don't think that's something to make any judgments on. I think a lot of the league is going to start performing at a different kind of level, especially come playoff time. Maybe we'll see LeBron just go into playoff mode before playoffs start, like he has in the past when playoffs start, is a LeBron mode, whatever. But Yeah, I think some of these players will continue to do really well and maybe put that grind forth even further than they might in the regular season.
Mm-hmm. I know that one of Kobe's things that he wanted to add to the league, especially towards the end of his career, was leaving a legacy for the younger players and kind of mentoring some of those guys. And you've seen it with Trae Young and mm-hmm. Devin Booker and that kind of thing. So it is nice to see some of these guys have some great nights. And really, you know that they're just all thinking about Kobe because he meant a lot to a lot of these mm-hmm. players.
And that's another thing that I don't think really is a coincidence. A lot of those players that he did have such a strong relationship with, such as Kyrie, Devin Booker.
There were so many of them, too.
Yeah, there were so many. And those are the players that have been doing so well lately. Yeah. So there's, I don't think it's probably a coincidence. So
one last thing on the Kobe topic. I need to know, what is your favorite Kobe moment of all time? It's a tough one because there's a lot.
Yeah, I mean... I'm not too old myself. I'm 19, so I was a Kobe fan for the majority of my life, but seeing him walk off after the 60-point game in his last game in 2016
that was amazing.
Something to behold, for sure. So I'd have to say that.
That was probably right up there with me, but I'm going to go with one that doesn't get flaunted around too much, but for some reason, when he just did not flinch on that inbound pass from Matt Barnes, that was... That hit different. That definitely embodies the Kobe spirit, and I think that's up there among my mm-hmm. favorite.
You know what? One other one is when he tore his Achilles and decided that he was going to take those last two free throws. It's not something that really will go down as like a great performance in the night or similar to the Matt Barnes inbound pass, but it's another part of that whole Mamba mentality is to just kind of put everything else to the side and worry about it later.
No doubt. Just a little bit more NBA news. We've heard some rumors floated around. Andre Drummond might get traded. I know that the Pistons have said in the past that really basically anyone on their roster is open to, you know, the conversations mm-hmm. of trade. So what have you been hearing about Andre Drummond and just any of that talk?
Well, Drummond and Derrick Rose, actually.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, see, I would be more broken up about Derrick Rose,
yes,
to be honest.
It is sad. It's almost too bad that he's on the Pistons because he's putting forth so much effort and it shows every night. But there were talks about Derrick Rose possibly getting traded back to the New York Knicks. Hmm. Drummond has been in trade talks with almost half the teams in the NBA just because he's that rebounding defending center that a lot of teams crave that don't have. But I mean, trade deadline's coming up. We may not see anything come to fruition, but of course there have been so many trade talks with Drummond, so at this point I wouldn't be surprised if no trades were made with Drummond. But
you know, Drummond's honestly like the perfect purgatory piece for
indeed,
the Pistons.
Yes.
Because he's a great piece to have if you already have a solid foundation built, but if he's like your superstar like he is with the Pistons, I mean, Blake Griffin's been injured this whole season, so he really is kind of running the show. He's not a guy that's going to, you know, lead your team. He's just going to be a guy that's going to get you those boards that you need. And he'll get you maybe 20 a night, but, like, he's not going to carry you. So,
it's just mediocrity at
right,
its finest.
It's the Pistons' way right there.
Yep.
So I wouldn't even mind seeing him get traded, that is. All right, so just a quick little tidbit on college football, not even Division I, but we had to throw it in there before the break. Right down the road from here, we'll actually be there tomorrow, GVSU. We had some interesting news coming out of Laker Nation. An assistant coach recently hired was asked who he would like to have dinner with, anyone from history. And my mans went on the record and said that he would like to have dinner with Hitler. And then doubled down and said that he thought Hitler was a great leader. What are you thinking about this one, Luke?
There's no excuse. Absolutely no excuse. I don't care which way you spin it, if you try to sugarcoat it. That's just something you don't say.
Yeah.
Hopefully you don't think even when you're not speaking to the public. But there's
right.
repercussions will be taken, I'm sure. But he just made a huge mistake and should pay for it because you just can't say that.
Like, I understand. I think I understand where he's coming from because, like, you know.
Yeah, he led his people in the way that they believed. And
but he's, like, to say he's a great leader is, like,
disgusting.
I mean, dude, the guy killed millions of people. Like, I don't know. It's suspect. All right, well, that's all we got for segment one. We're going to keep this episode pretty short today. Coming up next, we got This Week in History, some basketball talk, and then finally a little bit of our thoughts on the Super Bowl. And we are back, and we'll get right back into it with This Week in History. So we're going to take you back to 1934, keeping that Nazi spirit going from our last segment. Alfred Rosenberg was made the philosophical chief of the Nazi Party. And I don't know, this has been a pretty dry week in history from this week. So I don't know, the title of philosophical chief just kind of made me chuckle a little bit. I don't really know what that would look like.
Yeah, I don't know where they pulled that one out.
Yeah, I don't know what that's all about, but there you have it. So we'll leave that as it is, and we'll get into some basketball talk. So I figured, you know, while we have some fresh perspective, we're away from Nate a little bit. We got Luke here on the podcast again. I figured I'd get some NCAA basketball talk because we're kind of getting into that season, getting away from football a little bit. And I just want to hear what you have to say on the whole matter, Luke. Any predictions that you got for the rest of the season or the tournament?
Well, you know I have some predictions. Whether or not they will be correct by any means at the end of the championship or the end of the tournament.
All you got to do is speak confidently and you'll never be wrong.
Exactly. Talk like you know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
And those will follow. Well, I don't think it's ever a bad idea to count Duke out. Sitting here at number 9, but they have had some questionable losses this year. But you know who I like? It's Dayton.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting. They got Obi Toppin. I know that. He's a solid player, and they have been on the rise this year. I like that pick. Who do you got coming out? Do you think a Big Ten team is going to win it just with the massive amount of teams that they have in the conference?
I think a Final Four might incorporate some Michigan State and Maryland action.
Ooh.
Sitting at 14 and 15. I know it's not too bold considering they're the two of the best Big Ten teams in the NCAA right now, but both have shown that they can hoop. Both have shown that they can ball in time of need. Oh, well, maybe not Michigan State. But, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if either of them decided to make a solid tournament push once the NCAA tournament does come.
I like that prediction. I'm just going to throw out some teams to watch for just based on what I'm seeing. I like Illinois to make some noise. They're balling this year. Never count Arizona out. They're kind of on a little bit on a cold stretch right now, but they've got some freshmen that can heat up really quick. Peyton Pritchard with Oregon, that's a solid team to look forward to in the tournament. Let's see, who do we got here? Butler, they're an up-and-coming team. But I think if I had to pick the champion right now, I'd go with Gonzaga. They just strike me as an all-around solid team, and generally you're going to have a blue blood within that Final Four somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I think Gonzaga might be the team to do it this year. I'm really not sold on San Diego State. It seems to me that when you have one of those like hot teams that comes out of nowhere, like just one season type teams.
Like Dayton.
Right. Well, Dayton's been a solid program, consistent throughout. San Diego State a little bit too, but not as much recently. Usually when you have a team like that, they don't make it all the way in the tournament at least. So I'm definitely not going with them. Dayton, I respect that Dayton pick. That's a pretty solid pick. All right. Well, we got that out of the way, so that was nice. You mentioned Duke. We had some news coming out of Duke this week. Coach K, I don't know if you saw this, Luke, but he kind of had a little meltdown on his own student section. They were chanting at Jeff Capel, who was a former assistant coach for Mike Krzyzewski. And he was really screaming at the Duke stands.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying, like, shut up, all that. I mean, I don't think we've ever seen an outburst like that from Coach K, especially not directed at the refs, directed towards his own student body. So what did you think about that?
It definitely did come to a surprise when a pretty reserved guy in Coach K decided to flip out on his own student section. Really gave me a nice chuckle seeing that because all the students looked like they had never been yelled at before.
That's
so
accurate.
It was great to see. I mean, he put them in their place when he should have, because you just got to have a level of respect for a former assistant coach.
That's true. He takes care of his own.
Indeed, yeah. Whether you like him or not, he is definitely a solid coach and a great man.
Yeah, I really do have a lot of respect for Coach K. You did mention it. That I don't know if we've ever seen that elite level of a coach who really does not get that upset. Like, I love Tom Izzo. Like, I rag on Michigan State, Tom Izzo is a great coach, but he is one of those guys that is always going to scream and yell and things of that nature. But you really don't see that out of Coach K. It's kind of Belichick-esque in a way, because Belichick really doesn't, you know, he doesn't freak out too much like that. So, yeah, great guy, but he kind of lost it there for a second. And speaking of Izzo and Michigan State, I know you're a State fan as well. You probably, you know, you maybe haven't been keeping up as much as in the past, but, okay, all right. So what do you think about your Dogs there in East Lansing?
They're on a nice streak right now, if you don't look at that loss to Indiana. But, I mean, beating the snot out of Northwestern didn't come to a surprise, and beating Minnesota quite handedly didn't come to a surprise, or maybe somewhat surprising. But I think they obviously look good. I picked them to be one of the better teams in the Big Ten come later in the season. But Cassius Winston, he's holding his own, of course, maybe not playing at the number one player in the all of NCAA level like they predicted.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure his brother's passing had something to do with that, too.
Definitely. Yeah, that was, again, another tough loss. But, yeah, I think that they'll be able to make a solid push towards the end of the season and come tournament time.
So, do you think they make it 5 straight against Michigan?
No.
Really?
I don't know. I'm not saying that they might lose to Michigan, but playing Maryland, Illinois, and Penn State.
No, I mean 5 straight versus Michigan.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't see why not. I mean, maybe Penn State will put up a bit of a battle, but I don't know if Michigan or Wisconsin really make it any tougher for them than it already is. So, you know.
Yeah. Michigan's, you know, they've been doing not very good lately. I could easily see State getting those 5 straight against Michigan. So we're going to get into our final segment of the show, NFL talk. We're going to start off before the Super Bowl with some Tom Brady talk, you know.
Michigan boy.
My Michigan boy. You know, we've talked about a little bit about him since the end of his season. You know, there's been speculation all around the league. And just recently, he posted on Twitter a little bit of a cryptic Twitter post, if you will. A silhouette of him in the Gillette Stadium tunnel. People are speculating, does that mean he's leaving? Does that mean he's coming back? I know I've heard talk on Twitter, you can't really see where his face is, so you don't know if he's walking into the stadium or if he's walking out of the stadium. There's been talk there. So what do you make of this?
Bogus.
No,
it is not nothing, but I think it's bogus that he's doing that. That's a grown man just trying to play games with the league.
No, like, kidding. GOAT. I actually respect that take.
Just, like, grow up, kind of. Like, don't just post cryptic, like, tweets or Instagram pictures.
That's like some Antonio Brown nonsense.
Exactly. Just get out there and speak your mind. Say, or maybe not speak your mind if you haven't made it up yet, but either don't say anything and figure it out later, or just come out and say what you're thinking. So
right. He didn't even post a caption with it. Exactly. Right? So you know that it was meant to, like, stunt. It really was just meant to feed the flames. And we really haven't seen that out of Brady very much in his career. Yeah. So it's kind of bizarre that he is doing that. So if he were to leave, or maybe if he's even to stay, where do you think that best fit is for him? Do you think it's staying in New England or going somewhere
Definitely.
Else?
Definitely. I think staying in New England would just be the best fit. It wouldn't seem right seeing number 12 Tom Brady on any other team, to be honest. But there was another fit out there for him. I think just about any mediocre team in the league. Any team that needs a solid quarterback to carry them into the playoffs. But there's a handful of young quarterbacks in the league right now, so it'd be hard to judge on where he should go based on teams that are kind of on that border of whether or not they're going to be successful or not. But I don't think there's one best team other than the Patriots.
I know that this probably doesn't have a lot to do with his decision making. A lot of it comes down to dollars and cents, but there has been a lot of talk in recent years that, you know, Tom Brady is that system quarterback, the guy who's just good because you know, Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick made everything for him. So I wonder if there is a little incentive there to kind of, you know, make his namesake elsewhere. And if he were to go to a team like, say, the Chargers, who are probably going to move on from Phillip Rivers here, and if he were to take him to a Super Bowl or even an AFC Championship, does that just cement that Tom Brady is, you know, the GOAT? And all of that, or do you think it's already cemented? You think so?
It's been cemented. He has nothing left to prove.
I think so too. I feel the same way. At this point, I think really all that it can do is affirm his legacy at best, and at worst it can show like, wow, maybe this guy isn't as good as we thought. So I think it's kind of a no-win situation if he were to leave. But I guess on the flip side, if you are the Patriots organization and Tom Brady comes asking for, you know, a pay raise, are you going to give that to him at what is he now, 41 years old?
I believe he's 42.
43,
yeah. I mean, if you're the Patriots, you just got to give him whatever he asked for.
Really?
Max contract, honestly. What he's brought to the Patriots, yeah, you'd hope for him to maybe pull a Tim Duncan and take a pay cut.
He's done that most of his career.
Yeah. But, I mean, the Patriots' success you can attribute to basically Brady and Belichick. So give the man what he wants, regardless of how ludicrous it is. But he's earned it.
Well, speaking of Super Bowl-type quarterbacks, let's get into some Super Bowl talk. You and I will both be watching the game together at Scott's apartment in Grand Valley. The aforementioned Grand Valley, that is. Should be a great matchup. We didn't have a very entertaining AFC or NFC championship, two blowouts, but these are the teams that conducted those blowouts, so maybe when they go head-to-head, we'll have a little bit better action. What are you looking forward to in this game, and then who do you got as well?
What I'm looking forward to, and might be a little cliche, is simply a good game. And I think that's exactly what we're going to get. I don't think one team looks ridiculously better than the other team. I think it's going to be good offenses against good defenses. I think potentially maybe a low-scoring game, even with high-powered offenses such as the Chiefs. Yeah, I mean,
I think they'll just kind of cancel each other out.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, the spread is looking about 2 points right now, so at this point, just hope for a good game, and I think that's what we're going to receive.
Who do you got in this one?
The Chiefs.
Really?
I think the Chiefs will win by a touchdown or two.
Patty's time?
Yep. They just look like simply the best team. The 49ers, they look great, but they just seem to have their flaws in some areas. And the Chiefs just look like the most well-rounded team that there is.
Personally, I'm pulling for the 49ers, and on paper to me, honestly, I think I would go with the 49ers because of their defense, but for some reason, I'm kind of with you. I don't know what it is. I think it's just Andy Reid's time. And I think that with this young star quarterback that they've gotten, Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs are going to find a way to win this game. But like I said, I'm going for the 49ers in this one. So you did kind of mention it with the offenses. Do you think that is the storyline of this game, just that we've got two offenses? And like we mentioned on the show last week, if you tuned in, they are two high-powered offenses and two innovative offenses, but they're different in their approach. So do you think that's going to kind of play into this game and we're going to see some interesting looks? Maybe not a Philly special like we saw, but, you know, something like that.
Tough to say. I think, again, just with the strength of both defenses, it'll be hard to see any ridiculous plays come or any big plays, a lot high scoring. I don't think any of that will really happen, but I think it'll just be a trench war out there. I don't know if the systems that they've built up with either team are going to really work out. So I think we'll just see a good game.
So after
a scrap.
A scrappy game, if you will. Gumption.
Gumption, that's right.
We're going to see a lot of gumption out there. So when the season does finally conclude, we already mentioned Tom Brady, that storyline going around. But is there anything else you're looking forward to in this offseason? You know, maybe with your Saints. I know you're a big fan there. Anything at all in the league that you're just, you know, keeping an eye out for?
Well, as far as the Saints go, they basically got three quarterbacks, and no one knows what's going to happen to any of them. Drew Brees, we don't know. Sorry.
No. I've heard that Taysom Hill might be their guy coming up.
Yep. There's been talks about Drew Brees possibly retiring and Taysom Hill carrying the torch if Teddy Bridgewater decides to sign elsewhere. There's also been talks about Drew Brees signing an extension and maybe Drew Brees and Taysom Hill splitting snaps at quarterback. At this point, anything could happen. The rest of the league, I think that's just all up in the air. There's a lot going on in terms of the draft, free agents. So what do you think about your Lions?
You know, there's really no hope at this point. I mean, I've tried to be as optimistic as possible, but the past couple of years, it's just kind of, I don't know. I even stopped watching some games this year. That's the first year I've ever done that. And there really isn't much hope going forward. Although I will say, and this is interesting, I saw a report 2 days ago that the Bengals might actually be considering Justin Herbert as the number one pick instead of Joe Burrow. The Redskins are number two. They got Dwayne Haskins, so they're probably not going to get a quarterback. And I know the Lions have Matthew Stafford, but if Joe Burrow falls into your lap at number three and you're the Lions, Are you picking Joe Burrow? I think you have to.
It doesn't matter if you have the best. It doesn't matter if the Chiefs were... If Joe Burrow fell to the Chiefs.
Really?
You pick up Joe Burrow. First of all, he's a trade. What do you do with him? Yeah, that's true. You trade him or something. It's ridiculous if Joe Burrow isn't picked as long as he's available.
I mean, I think...
Hands down.
I think it would be Browns... I think we used this term last week as well, but I think it would be Browns-esque of the Bengals to not pick Joe Burrow as number one, because that man... I understand it's a one-year sample size and he was a little shaky before that time, but the dude had video game type numbers in his final season at LSU. He's a no-brainer as the number one pick to me. But you know, we'll leave that for the experts and the draft to decide. One final topic we're just gonna get off the table here. New league starting up starts actually this coming weekend after the Super Bowl next Sunday. The XFL started once in 2001. Starting again, totally different look this time. Still Vince McMahon, though, so anything could happen. Are you going to be watching this year?
No. But, but I'll be interested to see how it all turns out. Maybe some highlights here and there. But I wouldn't be surprised if it failed miserably for the second time. But I hope for its success. I'd like to see another league full of scrappiness again. But... I really have nothing that I'm looking forward to in terms of watching it, but I hope for the best for the XFL.
It does,
what about you?
If you remember the AAF, it does seem to have a little bit of a different feel from that simply because they've actually gotten some major networks to broadcast their games. Most of the games in the XFL are going to be on ESPN and CBS and things of that nature. And they do have at least somewhat talent that they're working with, and they've implemented some cool new rules. I don't know if you've seen the kickoff rule. They're going to both be starting like 5 yards apart from each other, and they don't start running until the receiver gets the ball. I don't know. It's just interesting. It eliminates some injuries, but still makes it interesting. So
yeah, I think that opens up potential for more big plays too, and I think that's exactly what the XFL is looking for. Yep. It's just those highlight reel type plays to catch the viewer's attention and maybe get some big fans out of it.
I will certainly be tuning in. If the quality of football is garbage, though, I'll probably stop watching pretty quickly, but I'm going with the Houston Roughnecks. That's my team. Some Roughnecks over there in Houston, so we represent, you know how that is.
Go Tampa Bay Vipers.
Yeah, that's right. I remember you saying that. All right, so we'll have to see how that all works out. I did say this was the last thing, but we do have one more. You already know all at home, so I'm going to ask, who's your daddy of the week? I'll start off so we get a little bit of a feel for it. You already mentioned this on the show, but my daddy of the week is Coach K over a group of white kids who have seemingly never been yelled at before. I'll leave the floor to you, Luke, if you've got anything for the record.
My daddy, in terms of the sports world, man, that's just a tough question, you know, like... There's just so many of them. There's so many daddies.
I got nothing. All right, perfect. That's great. We love it here. We'll see you guys next week. A little bit shorter, like we said. We might be keeping that format going forward. You know, comment, like, subscribe below. You already know how it all is. And we will see you next week. This has been the Trial Run Podcast.